Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is about 2:06. Alhamdulillah. Well, first up, as we commence our program this afternoon, it's health news again. And yes, it's all about Alzheimer's. It's September is actually World Alzheimer's Month. And what I will share with you in health news today is just some statistics about Alzheimer's disease in the world, and also we look at some warning signs of Alzheimer's, inshallah. That will be followed by an interview with the chairman of Retina South Africa. His name is James Cape, James Cape. And we will be talking about, it's September again, so it's World Retina Week, which obviously was until yesterday. But we're going to be talking about, World Retina Week, what Retina South Africa hopes to achieve, inshallah, and a lot more. That'll happen just around 2:30, inshallah. But for now, let's start off with health news. And like I said earlier, September is World Alzheimer's Month. This emphasis is led by the Alzheimer's Disease International with the goal of raising awareness on how to reduce the risk of dementia. Now, Alzheimer's disease in the world, I'll just share with you a little bit of some of the statistics with regards to Alzheimer's. Now, they say in 2013, 44.4 million people worldwide were estimated to have dementia, with 62% of these people living in low and middle class or middle income countries. Then about 7.7 million cases of dementia develop each year worldwide, and the number of people with dementia in the world is expected to increase to 75.6 million in the year 2030 and about 135.5 million in the year 2050, unless this trajectory is changed. And then Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia, and of course there are other types which include vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, and frontotemporal dementia. In 2010, dementia was estimated to cost $604 billion a year. And the biggest contributor to these costs is the need for ongoing care as opposed to acute medical interventions and care. Dementia is the world's leading cause of disability and dependence. That means requiring care. And then caregivers often include family and friends, which is a more common scenario in lower income countries, as well as more formal care providers such as nursing homes and assisted living facilities, more frequently found in higher income countries. The lifespan of someone with dementia is shortened, with an average survival length after diagnosis of 7.1 years for Alzheimer's disease and 3.9 years for someone with vascular dementia, according to the World Health Organization. And they say these numbers do vary widely, however, based on the person's other medical conditions and, of course, also their general health. And according to Alzheimer's Disease International, a new case of dementia develops every 4 seconds worldwide. And since medications and treatments have not been successful in treating dementia, the emphasis is on reducing the risk of developing dementia. And Alzheimer's Disease International has also chosen to focus on 5 ways to do this. And those 5 ways are actually, simple things that we should be aware of, and I'll just share them with you very quickly. The first one is to take care of your heart. The second one, obviously, is physical exercise. You need to eat a healthy diet. Your food, what you consume, is very important. Your mental activity, mental exercises, things like that, brain exercises, etc., and to be socially active. So those are the 5 ways to actually, lessen Alzheimer's disease, inshallah. Maybe if we do have time, I will go a little into it a little later in the program. But what I also want to talk to you about is some of the warning signs of Alzheimer's. Now, wondering if you should be concerned about Alzheimer's or another type of dementia? Well, if you observe any of these classic warning signs that I'm going to be sharing with you in a few moments, you should actually contact your doctor. And there's two reasons why you should contact your doctor. The first is that those symptoms could be a sign of a condition that resembles dementia, but can also potentially be, it can potentially be reversed if identified and treated. And the second reason is that there are many benefits to early detection of dementia. Okay, so let's look at all, some of these warning signs that one should be aware of. The first and the most common warning sign is memory loss that interferes with your daily life. And this would include repeated requests for the same information, increased reliance on written notes or family members, and more difficulty with remembering recent events or information. Those are some warning signs, but not if you just occasionally forgetting where you place the car keys. That doesn't mean that you're actually going to, end up with dementia or with Alzheimer's. No. While memory loss is often what comes to mind when we think of Alzheimer's disease, there are, nine other warning signs that are just as important, and inshallah, I'm going to share them with you. The second one is from withdrawal from usual activities. So like we said, the first one is memory loss, but please, not those occasional, forgetting little things, no, not that. For example, maybe where you left your keys or things like that, no. That's not a warning sign, but the ones that I mentioned earlier. Then the second one is withdrawal from usual activities. Apathy, lack of interest, and withdrawal from people and activities around you can be indicative of early dementia. For example, including no longer following, maybe a favorite sports team, or being apathic about spending time with treasured grandchildren, giving up your knitting or your woodworking or any of your hobbies, and skipping the monthly get-togethers with good friends. Sometimes you just start avoiding people altogether. But needing a longer break between activities or occasionally feeling overloaded with obligations, that doesn't mean, that is a sign, a warning sign. Those that you do occasionally, but if it suddenly becomes, you now completely stop everything that you are doing, enjoying to do your hobbies, for example, or your grandchildren, you start avoiding and staying away from your grandchildren, not wanting anything to do with them, and your friends, etc., you avoid being around your friends, then that is a warning sign. Then the third one is disorientation to time and or place. Now, if you've ever awakened from a deep sleep and you couldn't immediately determine the day, the time, or the location, you actually are experiencing some disorientation. It happens now and again. It happens to many people out there, but magnify that many times over and you've got one of the warning signs of Alzheimer's. Disorientation includes an inability to determine what season or year it is, your location, or why you're in that location. As Alzheimer's progress, it's not uncommon for a person to believe she's many years younger than she is due to an unawareness of time passing. So that's, when you really need to start getting concerned. But not wondering what day it is and figuring it out by checking the calendar. No. Many times you forget, oh goodness, you know, you get up and you wonder, what day is it today? But, you know, quickly you remember, okay, it's Tuesday or it's Wednesday or it's Thursday. Or you just quickly check the calendar and you know which day or, you know, it is and you figure it out like that. That is not actually a warning sign. But, of course, the ones that we spoke about earlier. Visual spatial difficulties. Visual spatial changes are another warning sign, or a warning sign of dementia, and this includes difficulty with depth perception and distances, recognition of familiar faces or objects, and interpretation of the images that you see. Activities including navigating stairs, climbing into a bathtub, finding your way home, or reading a book may become more difficult. You know, things that you normally do very easily and suddenly you find it much more difficult, like, for example, stairs. You don't know where to put your foot when you're climbing a stair. Suddenly, all those little things, you know, when you're trying to get into the bathtub and you miss and you know, it's something that you don't normally do. That's when you become a bit concerned. Vision changes due to macular degeneration or cataract, that actually is not a warning sign. Then decrease in written or verbal communication ability. Do you often find yourself trying to come up with the right word and you have to settle for saying, for example, the thing you cook food on because the word stove just don't come to you? Maybe you've always been a good writer and recently you've noticed that you can't get your thoughts down on paper very well. Or a change in communication ability serves as a warning sign for dementia. But what's not dementia is occasional inability to find the right word. And, you know, many a times when we're sitting and doing our programs, we tend to not find the right word. But I guess if it becomes a little too often, then we need to worry about that. Okay, then challenges in problem solving and planning. Now, maybe your memory seems fine to you, but, you know, balancing your checkbook and getting the bills paid on time has become much harder lately. Or you've always been a good cook, but multiple steps in recipes don't seem to make sense anymore. Even making coffee in the morning takes longer to figure out. Yeah, then these activities involve executive functioning, an ability that typically declines in dementia. Now, if you notice these changes in yourself or someone you love, contact your physician for an assessment. Like, I mean, a cup of tea is not something, or a cup of coffee is not something that you really need to know how to make. You know, it just automatically comes. But if you suddenly find, you're getting a bit confused making that cup of tea, or somebody that you love and you notice it happening with them, then it's time that you need to, you know, it's a warning sign. So please then contact your doctor. Not, you know, one or two mistakes in your maths calculation. That is a dementia. Okay. Your personality and your mood changes. Now, has your normally easygoing father become irritable and fearful lately? Maybe he accused you of helping him clean his house just so that you could take his money or steal his favorite treasures. It's a bit familiar. If you have older people in the house, you know, this sometimes is a warning sign. Or he had a catastrophic reaction when you drove him to the store and they've moved the bread or the, you know, in a different aisle or something. You know, he suddenly cannot understand why this is happening. Now, if he's always been temperamental or ornery, it's unlikely that this is related to his cognitive functioning. However, a change over the last several months in his usual mood and his behavior is a warning sign that his brain may be experiencing some changes and he should be evaluated for dementia. But what's not dementia is becoming a little more set in your ways and disliking changes. So you find people, you know, are so set in their ways, and when you suddenly change things, they don't like it. So that is not a warning sign. So just to be sure that you know what you are, if any of these warning signs that I've mentioned do come up, then obviously it's time for you to make sure that you see a physician or anybody that you love. Come across, you know, they present with any of these warning signs, then really it's time that you do something about it. Misplacing items frequently. Now, it happens to us very often, but it doesn't always mean that it's dementia. But listen to this. Do you know someone who struggles to keep track of things? Now, in dementia, this is exceptionally increased. Not only might things be misplaced, but the process of looking for the item by retracing her steps is much more difficult. The person with dementia may become frustrated because someone put her eyeglasses in the freezer or took her purse. Not only can she not find her shoes, she has also no recollection as to how they got into the oven. So you put things where you would never normally put things, and you know, you just can't remember where you've put these things, and you end up finding them in these places. That's a sign of dementia. But what's not is just losing your keys and then later remembering you set them down on the piano or, you know, on a cupboard somewhere or on the fridge to answer your phone. And then the ninth one is decline in judgment. Now, if you've noticed a pattern of poor judgment lately in your loved one, it's time to schedule an appointment for a physician. Perhaps it's repeatedly getting taken by, you know, phone scams and giving money away, or your normally neatly groomed mother often looks disheveled and needs a shower. You might also notice that she's not appropriately dressed for the weather. But what is not dementia is the occasional questionable decision with which a loved one disagrees. Okay, so every time an elder person disagrees with you, doesn't mean that the person is having dementia. Many people these days, our children these days, you know, sometimes just jokingly mentions it, but actually, you know, when you have a little bit of a disagreements with your loved ones, doesn't mean that the person is actually having dementia or it's a warning sign. And then the last one is difficulty performing familiar tasks. Now, getting lost on your way home from the local grocery store, and inability to perform the job you've had for over 20 years, or difficulty making your signature grilled toasted cheese, well, these are all warning signs of Alzheimer's disease or another type of dementia. It's important to recognize that this isn't referring to attempting to learn something new, such as a new computer system, but rather is a change in ability to complete a task you've always been able to perform until now. So when, you know, you notice some of these warning signs that I've shared with you today, then it is time, you know, that you see a physician. So, you know, that your condition can either be reversed or it can be treated, inshallah. Well, that's all I have for you today in, you know, with regard to health news and Alzheimer's and dementia. When we come back, inshallah, we're going to be speaking to James Scape, who is the chairman of Retina South Africa, and we'll be talking about World Retina Week and what Retina South Africa hopes to achieve, inshallah. So,
with us.
We'll be back in a few moments.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. World Retina Week 2017. 20,000 South Africans are losing their vision to genetic forms of retinal blindness. Retina South Africa needs you to help to bring promising clinical trials and imminent therapies to South Africa to stop this progression towards blindness. They need public support to establish a diagnostic panel at the University of Cape Town to equip local researchers to find the gene mutations in South African families. To assist, SMS the word DREAM to 38267 to donate 10 rand towards finding a cure for retinal blindness. For more information, see www.retinasa.org.za. Well, good afternoon. Assalamu alaikum to all our listeners out there. And joining me online is James Cape, the chairman of Retina South Africa. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Now, of course, we'll be talking about World Retina Week and what Retina South Africa is all about, or rather what it helps to achieve in the next 15, 20 minutes. I hope you are well.
Yes, I am well, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, Retina... what is World Retina Week all about?
So World Retina Week is really all about awareness of all the retinal conditions that affect the retina. So it's all about awareness, and especially awareness for patients knowing that there is an organization that provides support.
Okay. When does Retina Week normally take place?
So it takes place annually during roughly the last week of September. So it is Retina International, which South Africa is a founder member of, and at the moment has some 43 member countries, all celebrate Retina during that week.
I see. And what does Retina South Africa really hope to achieve during this week and, you know, generally all the time?
Well, what we hope to achieve, especially that those who have got a condition do come forward. You know, a lot of people who have got retinal problems don't know about Retina South Africa. They don't know that there is an organization that provides support. And secondly, you know, if you stay at home and do nothing, nothing will happen. By coming forward and with the many trials and that are taking place, you know, we are pretty sure and confident that there will be treatment or cures that will become available in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, I hope you can just help us out here. You know, we talk about inherited retinal disorders, but firstly, what exactly is this condition?
Sorry, what?
What is this condition, inherited retinal disorders?
Okay, so it's the retina itself is affected. So, for example, the two biggest conditions is what they call retinitis pigmentosa. And that's where people lose their peripheral vision.
Okay.
So they only have tunnel vision. So if you look through a small keyhole, that's all you see. So you can't see anything below you, and you can't see anything on the side. And also you would have, one of the indications is night blindness. So at night, you would really battle to see. The other one is predominantly macular degeneration. Now, macular degeneration is actually what the condition that I've got. That's where you lose your central vision and you only have your peripheral vision. So, for example, if you took a pair of glasses and put some Vaseline on it, that's what I see. So everything is very sort of murky. I don't have clarification because I don't have the central vision.
Mm-hmm. And is this a condition that can be corrected?
No. At the moment, there are no cures. There are a lot of cures that are subject to clinical trials, and we hope in the future that there will be some cures or treatments. But as of to date, there is no cures.
Mm-hmm. How common is inherited retinal disorders, and who is at risk for these conditions or okay. these disorders?
Well, everybody's at risk. But I think the what is the number of people is about one in every 200,000 will get one of the retina disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And worldwide, there's roughly about 10 million people that have got it.
Okay. So anybody can get it. Now, they say inherited. So is this really just if it is in the family, then everybody else, or not maybe all, but some of them will certainly get it along the line?
Yes. So if to get the inheritance, both your parents have to be carriers.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take my family, for example, my dad and my mom were carriers. Now, my sister, who's the eldest, she's 5 years older than me, she's got the condition. My brother, who's 2 years older than me, does not it's not affected. He's got perfect eyes, and I'm the youngest, and I've got affected. So it's about the chromosomes. And so if both parents have got it, your chances are exceptionally high that you will get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the, now my two sons, they're in their 30s now, they don't have the condition because my wife was not a carrier. But my sons will be carriers.
Mm-hmm. So it's always a good idea, good to know that you have the condition so you can take the necessary precautions, to make sure, like hopefully, to cut it short, in other words, so that everybody don't get it. As you go along.
Yes, because I mean you can go for genetic counseling, and there are ways, the more modern ways now of being able to look at the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if both of you are known carriers, in other words, if I met my wife and she was already a carrier, we would know the risks of bearing children.
Okay, so you say that you are you have this condition. So how soon is this condition normally diagnosed, and when was your condition diagnosed?
Okay, so my sister, who's 5 years older than me, she was diagnosed at the age of around about 12.
Mm. So as
so
soon
they
as
call that they call that juvenile.
Okay.
Now it could be even younger than that.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is an important factor: is that often. And for example, children. And let's talk about children because often children don't do well at school.
Yeah.
And teachers are inclined to just, they'll say, oh, your child is lazy, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. But often it is because the child can't see the blackboard. Or he's battling to see the blackboard. And children, they don't want to sit in the front of the class.
Yes.
Because, then they're considered to be sort of the goody-goodies. So they're inclined to sit sort of further back. Now, often, if it's not diagnosed at that early age, the child might, could obviously would affect his ability to learn and study, etc. So the earlier it's identified, the more help and support one can provide to that child. So my sister was diagnosed at the age of 12. And I got tested thereafter, and in those days, obviously, there wasn't all known as much as it is today. And mine only came into effect when I was 27.
Mm.
So mine's what they call late onset.
Okay. Now, this is very interesting because, if a child is diagnosed, at that young age, how do you kind of correct it, or not correct it, but how do you manage to go through schooling and all that when you are like that, when you do have this condition?
Well, you know, the nice thing about it is that in these days there's a lot of technology that can assist you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that you make sure that the teacher is up to speed with this child. So, you know, it's one about sitting with the teacher and getting the teacher and the school to assist your child. So, for example, they could maybe print the exam paper in a larger print.
Yeah.
Instead of printing it at a font 8 or 11, whichever their option is, they could print it at a font of a 12 or a 13. Now, you'll find that a lot of teachers, and we have at the Retina office available guidelines for teachers to assist pupils who have eye conditions. And also ensuring that, you know, their aspirations in their careers are going to be, the child shouldn't have an aspiration to become a pilot.
Yeah.
Because he'll never become a pilot. But he can take on such a wide range. I mean, I work for a financial institution, so I was working with figures, etc. But my workplace was fully aware of my condition, and I had special software programs for the computer, etc., which made me just feel like a normal person.
Yeah, it's so. Yes.
And that's why that's the kind of thing and the advice and the guidance that we at Retina, we have counselors, and we would supply as much support to that child and family, as is needed.
It's wonderful, and that's just the thing. Many of us are not aware that there is so much of support out there. So if in future, if people do have these problems and they do need support, they can always contact the Retina South Africa. And I'm sure you have so much of information to share with our listeners or people that have the condition that can make it so much easier for them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the other thing is, when people are diagnosed or a child is diagnosed or whatever, the family go into what we call denial. In other words, they can't understand why they got the condition. What did they do wrong? They start questioning everybody and everything as to the why. And that's the natural thing that happens to people when they're diagnosed, and parents, because parents then feel guilty that it's their fault that their child has it. But it's to overcome that guilt and get forward and provide the child, and as we say, come forward with it, because if you don't tell people about it, people can't help you.
Mm. Well, of course, we know there isn't much medical treatment available. So what other ways, can people with retinal degeneration kind of enhance their quality of life?
Yes, certainly, people who've got it need to, obviously, if they look after their diet,
mm-hmm.
Diet is very important, and that's in general terms for your eye conditions, for the health of your eyes. And the other thing is things like smoking. Smoking is just totally harmful. It actually speeds up the degeneration rather than anything else. So these health-wise, it's very important. The other thing is, people get diagnosed with macular or RP and then they just say, well, that's it, that's my eyes. But in fact, there's other aspects that you still got to look after your eye. You still got to go and have your eye looked at and checked. For other aspects, like it might be, for example, last year my cataracts had to be removed, and that's improved my sight a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of just leaving things, it's about taking care. There are also vitamins that can be taken, special vitamins that have lucine in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is, the body doesn't manufacture that. But plants like spinach does. So eating a lot of spinach is exceptionally good for your eyes.
Wow. Oh, wonderful. Well, we're going to take a short break now. When we return, inshallah, we continue talking about Retina South Africa. And, you know, the theme this year, they say, is help the gene hunters. So yes, we'll be talking a little about that as well. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. World Retina Week 2017. 20,000 South Africans are losing their vision to genetic forms of retinal blindness. Retina South Africa needs you to help bring promising clinical trials and imminent therapies to South Africa to stop this progression towards blindness. They need public support to establish a diagnostic panel at the University of Cape Town to equip local researchers to find the gene mutations in South African families. Well, to assist, SMS the word DREAM to 38267 to donate 10 rands, finding a cure to retinal blindness. For more information, see www.retinasa.org.za. Well, listeners, joining me is our chairman of Retina South Africa, James Cape. Hi, James. Thank you so much for holding on. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International.
Pleasure.
Okay, now I've mentioned something about the, earlier on, it's the gene hunters. That's help the gene hunters, which is the theme for World Retina Week 2017. What are the gene hunters at the University of Cape Town actually looking for?
Okay, look, this is a very, very exciting project. So just to put it into context, what is important for everybody who's, every patient as we call it, everybody who's got the disorder, is to have their gene typed. In other words, to find out which gene has the mutation. That is quite critical. And if I wanted to put it into context, the reason we need to know that is when the cures and the treatments come along, then we'll know exactly what treatment or cures will suit you.
Okay.
So if you looked at it in a different way, it's about saying when you get to a railway station, you need to know which platform to go to catch the right train. So in order for us to get you onto the right platform, we need to know what your gene is. So what happens is your DNA is taken, and currently we send it overseas to get that gene mutation identified. Now where we have hit some problems is that a lot of the mutations on the panel in overseas does not necessarily have the South African representation of what our genes are. So we've been fortunate that the University of Cape Town has now got the equipment. And what we're trying to do now is we're raising funds to be able to buy the panel, in other words, the chip that goes with this computer and equipment that will help us diagnose the actual genes. Now, at the moment, it costs $28,000 for every single one we send overseas. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could bring that cost down to a really affordable amount by having it done here at UCT. But what we're wanting to do is we're currently looking to identify in excess of 300 of our local indigenous people so that we can have the panel enhanced to include all the South Africans. And that would be a first in Africa as well. And it would be a milestone, because the other thing that we also of the opinion is that there's a lot of South Africans who are possibly abroad, and if they go and get tested abroad, they may not find the mutation because it hasn't been identified as such.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with regards the diagnostic panel, it's, I believe, a new project for Retina South Africa. So
yes,
what exactly is it, and, you know, what are the implications for the rest of Africa?
Oh, you know, the implications of the rest of Africa are tremendous because, first of all, it would bring down the price of having. So what happens is they take blood, but in a lot of cases now in the modern way, we take a saliva test.
Mm-hmm.
From that saliva test, they extract the DNA. And then they take the DNA and they run it, they put it into this diagnostic machine, And that then goes through all the permutations that there possibly is to identify your gene mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've got your gene mutation, then we will know what treatment and or cure you would be aligned to.
Okay.
So the problem we'd have at the moment is that when we send it overseas, it's often not identified because we don't have the South African mutations identified and included in the actual panel.
Okay. So basically you need South Africans to come in and do this, get the gene, South African genes to work with, so that
that's
you
right.
can actually, have the South African version, rather.
Yes. We had a lady who did a doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
She went over to the States and spent just about a year in the States. She's now got the knowledge on how exactly we can do that. And currently, right now, South Africa, we're looking to identify a minimum of 300 countrywide. That would be from the Limpopo border down to Cape Point, try and find 300 people, and those DNA, extracting, getting their DNA to the UCT for purposes of identifying the South African gene mutations.
Okay, so then how can our listeners actually be of help?
Well, first of all, the biggest help is, as usual, it's funds.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get the panel alone, just for us to purchase the panel from overseas, is going to cost us in the region of $750,000.
Okay.
So that is a lot of money in its own right. But, I mean, every 10 rand helps. So every donation they make, and you mentioned the SMS line, that it's financed, because one of our challenges in South Africa is the rural areas, is getting out to the rural areas. We have social workers that we send out to the rural areas. And so we want everybody in South Africa to be inclusive. So that's part of our challenge. And, sending a motor car out and getting people out, I'm sadly enough, but it costs a lot of money.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that information with us, and I hope, all of this comes through and it really can help our listeners out there. But I'd just like to share all that information with our listeners again. If you want to, in South Africa, you can SMS the word DREAM to 38267 for a 10 rand donation. And in and out of South Africa, you can visit the website, which is retinasa.org.za. And, of course, I don't see a contact number. Do you have any contact number that you can share with us?
I just need my special glasses here.
Okay, I think I've got one here. It is 011-450-1180. 011-450-1181. I think that's one of the numbers that you can contact.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Okay. And I think the best one is just to visit the website, www.retinasa.org.za, and of course, all of the information will be on the website.
Yes. And I encourage anybody who wants to know anything or want additional information to please phone. We have some very knowledgeable people, and we have offices in Bedford View. They can visit our offices. I spend time at the office and often spend time with people and going through various things with them. And sometimes it's those one-on-one chats that really enrich the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, James Cape. James Cape is the chairman for Retina South Africa. But thank you very much for coming on and sharing all that information with us. We certainly do appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, and thank you very much for having us.
It's a pleasure. Well, just a quick reminder to our listeners again, I'd like to share this with you. World Retina Week 2017, 20,000 South Africans are losing their vision to genetic forms of retinal blindness. Retina South Africa needs you, your help to bring promising clinical trials and imminent therapies to South Africa to stop this progression towards blindness. They need public support to establish a diagnostic panel at the University of Cape Town to equip local researchers to find the gene mutations in South African families. And please remember to assist, SMS the word DREAM to 38267 and to donate 10 rand towards finding a cure for retinal blindness. And for more information, see www.retinasa.org.za. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.